When I met John Wood, he was the pastor at First Baptist Church in Waco. Bubba Wood, they called him. He was an avid big game hunter. And several years back, he was on a safari in South America, and they are with machetes working their way through the jungle, hacking vines and bushes, trying to get back into a place where they were told they ought to be. When his party came upon the remains of a conquistador-era Spanish Catholic mission. And they were fascinated. The jungle had just taken it over. And they began to work their way around, and they found the chapel in the mission and the cornerstone of the chapel, and there was an inscription there on the cornerstone in Spanish. And Bubba doesn't read Spanish, but his guide did. But his guide was not a Christian. He was completely unfamiliar with the New Testament. So they said, read this for us. This guide looked at these words, and he began to translate a phrase which he himself had never heard before. And he said out loud, "Because God loved the world so much, he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in his son would not be dead anymore." Bubba said it was just one of those moments. To hear someone hear those words for the first time, to be in such a remote place and to think that the words had been waiting for them. There's a power in translating something for the first time. There's a wonder to behold in hearing a word afresh. When I was in seminary, we talked about translation being the work of getting a word from one time and place to another time and place effectively. That's hard work. Every translation is, to some degree, an editorial act. We're trying to figure out how to get through language and culture and time and history. And things get lost in translation. I was privileged to go to China about 10 times to work with pastors, with Bill and Michelle Kayard, and there is a whole occupation to be had translating signs that have already been translated in China. My favorite was beside a sheer cliff face that said, "When falling, please be careful." When you're falling, it's too late to be careful. Or the handicapped sign at the World Panda Breeding Center in Chengdu, which underneath it read, "Entrance for the maimed people." I didn't think that was what they were trying to communicate. There was something significant that those signs were there to tell us, but the way they said it caused us to miss a significant part of the message. We're walking through Paul's letter to the Galatians, and we're trying to hear afresh what Paul is telling this church. And I just want to remind you, when he wrote this letter, there was no New Testament. He's writing to new believers, and they're hearing these words and getting these concepts for the first time in the history of the world. And they're trying to make sense of who God is and what God is doing in their midst and what God wants from them. So Paul is giving them the building blocks of faith. And he starts and he says that the code that you need to know, the thing toward which we're building, is just this: that the one true and living God is making one family of all the earth through the crucified and risen Jesus. He starts into that and says, let's build on that. What does it look like? Well, there's an all y'all guys component to it, and all y'all guys are welcome at the table. As we're moving through chapter 2, he's going to start to tell us about something that's essential. That we have been justified through faith in Jesus. What does that mean? Justified means made right before God, or made right with God. It's passive voice, because it's not something we can do. We don't have the power to do that. Someone had to come to us and to do something for us that we're unable to do for ourselves in order that we would be made right with God. But what Paul says several times through this letter is that happens through faith in Jesus Christ or through faith in the Son of God. That's how our Bible's translated, and it seems to be the end of it. But what I want you to know is I think we've missed part of it. So this morning, I just want to unpack four words with you: through faith in the Son of God. And you'll find them there in Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. I hope you're the kind of person who writes in your Bible and makes notes in your Bible and highlights things in your Bible. And if you're not, you could start this morning. And if you're going to, you could scarcely do better than putting a box around these two verses. Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. And there the scripture says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. And the life I live in the body, I live through faith in the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if we could be made right before God through our efforts to do the right things, then Christ died for nothing." This is the word of the Lord. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. The life I live in the body, I live through faith in the Son of God. Is that how your translation renders that? Through faith in the Son of God? That's how mine did. That's what I grew up with. When I got to seminary, I learned that's the objective genitive, that Jesus is the object of our faith. And that gets us into what's called the objective subjective genitive debate, which is really so important. What he's saying there, if it's the object of our faith, is that we're saved through faith in Jesus. The problem is, if we're saved through faith in Jesus, all we've really done is traded one thing for another thing. We've traded being saved through faith in the works of the law, saved through doing the right thing under our own power, through having enough faith in Jesus. Do I have enough faith to save me? And that's where a lot of really bad theology creeps in. It's where televangelists have their play. Robert Tilton made a fortune on this idea. If you just plant your seed, God will meet your need. Whatever it is you need. If you're believing in God for a new house or a new car or a new job or to lose that weight or to gain that thing, you just got to faith it enough. And if you have enough faith, then God is required to give you the thing that you want. Exactly. Thank you. And if things don't go your way, it's because it's your fault. You didn't have enough faith. That is the tyranny of faith as a quantity being the thing that saves us. That's the objective genitive. So some scholars said, that just doesn't seem right. There's got to be some other side of that. So then they translated, what if we're saved by the faithfulness of Jesus? Same words. It's the subjective genitive. We're saved by the faithfulness of the Son of God. Who could argue with that? Rendered that way, what we're saying is the thing that saves us, faith, becomes a shorthand for the death of Jesus on the cross for our sin and for our sake. The gospel is the good news. That's literally what the word means, the good news. News is a thing that happened that changes the way we see all the other things that happened. And so it makes sense that we would say what we're saved by is the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave himself to deliver us from this present age, Paul says in the first chapter. He is the one who loves us and who gave himself for us, he says right here. And of course Jesus is the subject of our faith. Christianity is unintelligible apart from the life and the death and the resurrection, the ascension and the enthronement of Jesus of Nazareth. God became one of us in Jesus. And Jesus lived a sinless life among us to show us how God wants us to live in the world. He took on himself the penalty for our sin. We owed a debt we could not pay, and he paid a debt he did not owe, is the way we correctly say that. He died a death that opens the door to forgiveness for us and opens the door to eternal life for us. And he now reigns in power over all creation, and he invites us to receive forgiveness from him and to walk in a new life so that we can be made right before God, that is, so that we can be justified. It is the faithfulness of Jesus Christ that makes our faith matter. It is the life of Jesus through the Spirit that gives us life right here and right now. It is the love of Jesus that enables us to love in the world. It makes a difference when we see the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus as the subject of our faith, because if Jesus is not faithful, it does not matter how much faith we have in him. Is that right? He said, "I am Jesus the Christ. I am the only Son of the living God. Put all of your faith in me." And he gathered around him a band of followers who hung on his every word and who patterned their lives after his teachings. And they began to gather automatic weapons and hand grenades and explosives, and they put themselves in a compound called Mount Carmel outside of Waco, Texas. And Missy and I were headed out from church one day with a group of people from Calvary Baptist Church, and we watched on the news as the ATF raided the Branch Davidian compound. And over weeks, we watched as they hunkered in until on April the 19th, 1993, they died in a fiery blaze. If you asked them what were they doing, they would tell you, "We are following Jesus with our lives." It doesn't matter how much faith you have if the one in whom you place your faith is not faithful. Jesus is the subject of our faith because we're saved by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. But even that doesn't get to the whole thing. Mattress Mack does a promotion every year. I called last night, really, in like toward the end of the doubleheader. I called last night and said, "Hey, how long is this promotion good?" And they said they're extending it through today, so it expired yesterday. Mattress Mack does a promotion every year. This year's it is, if you buy $3,000 worth of furniture and the Astros win the World Series, you get your money back. Now, here's the thing about that. You have to buy the furniture before the Astros win the World Series. In fact, you had to buy it, I think, before the 17th inning in order to make this thing work. Holy cow, that was a game. If you wait until the Astros win the World Series and then you show up at the store and say, "Hey, there's that deal and I want to buy $3,000 worth of furniture," that's not living by faith. That's living by sight. That's not exercising any trust. Also, no assurance that the Astros are going to win. But those two things have to come together. The Astros have to win, and you have to exercise faith in them before that time comes. That's how this works. If God is faithful, but we are not faithful, then we do not participate in the faithfulness of God. Had a theology professor that said something to me that troubled me, but I'm persuaded he's right. God's love is unfailing. It is not unconditional. Is that hard to hear? God's love is unfailing. It is not unconditional. Read through the Psalms. And just notice every time the unfailing love of God comes up, and you'll notice that the unconditional love of God does not. The condition is we have to choose to receive it. We have to choose to live in light of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And so when we have faith in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. That's what saving faith is. It takes both sides. It takes God's faithfulness and it takes our faithfulness in order for our lives to be changed. That's the whole story. So if you say it all the way out, we're going to get these little bitty words. The faith in Jesus Christ becomes, we will be faithful to our faith in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, and that's how we're saved. That really is what Paul is saying here. The Bible says we participate in the faithfulness of Jesus. Paul said it this way, I have been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. In the life I live in the body, I live by my faith in the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. What Paul is saying is a deeply rooted Jewish belief that what is true for the king is true for his subjects. That the king represents his people. So that his victories are their victories. You think about when David came to the Valley of Elah, and he looked down and there was Goliath coming up every day and everybody was terrified, and David said, what's going on here? And they said, that's their champion, but we can't seem to find one. And David said, what do you get for fighting him? And they said, a lot. And he said, I'm in. And he went down, you know the story, he got 5 smooth stones and he came down and he killed Goliath, and then that one-on-one battle, champion against champion, suddenly everyone in Israel participated in the victory. What is true for the king is true for everyone in his kingdom. That's what Paul's saying here. We participate in the righteousness and in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. We must be faithful to our faith in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the king and we are his people. And because Jesus has been crucified and died to the power of sin, sin has lost its hold on us. Because Jesus has been raised in power, we live through resurrection power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us through the Holy Spirit, because what's true for him is true for us, because Jesus is making one family of all the earth. You are part of a family. And you need never be alone, because there are brothers and sisters who will walk with you in your glad days and your sad days alike. There are brothers and sisters who will be your 2 a.m. friends in the dark night of the soul. There is one table where we're all welcome to come sit together, because we are one family. Because he sent his Spirit to guide us, we now have a new way to live. The kingdom of God, way to live in the world. And the way of Jesus makes sense of our days and gives purpose to our lives and direction to our feet. And because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, we are called to be peacemakers and justice bringers in the world. We are called to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that way that Jesus taught us to pray day in and day out. But it only works when we are faithful to our faith in the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved us and who gave himself for us. When he said gave himself for us, what he means is when he died on the cross for our sin and for our sake. And when we do what Jesus said to do, which is, if anyone would come after me, he must. Do you know it? If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his daily, and that's how it's supposed to work. Denial, discipline, and devotion are the marks of us who follow Jesus. To bring the kingdom, we have to carry the cross. It's not just faith in Jesus. It's not just the faithfulness of Jesus. It is our faithfulness to our faith in the faithfulness of Jesus who gave himself on the cross. And to be faithful, we have to seek his cross. I read a story a little bit back about the Church of the Holy Cross in Midtown Manhattan. It's a Catholic church. So they have a life-size crucifix, a giant bronze cross with a 200-pound life-size plaster Jesus hanging on the cross. And one night, thieves broke in, and they took Jesus off the cross and stole him and left the cross behind. And their pastor, David St. James, said, "We don't know why they took Jesus. They took Jesus, but they left the cross." And it seems to me that's what we've been trying to do since the time that he was here. Everybody wants Jesus. Very few want the cross. But the calling that saves us and transforms us, tells us there is no Christianity apart from the cross. The power of the Christian life comes through the crucified Christ. We have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives within us. And the life we live in these bodies, we live through faithfulness to our faith in the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We do not set aside the grace of God. For if being made right with God is something we could accomplish through doing the right things, then Jesus died for nothing. Well,